It's 8 o'clock. This is KBNF Regional News for Monday, April 20th. I'm Patricia Naft. The recent cold front and snowfall has a few people worried about the fruit trees. KBNF's Jake Ryan has more.
Susan Carter is a horticultural agent for the Colorado State University Extension in Mesa County. She says the snow isn't necessarily bad news.
Oh, it's been great news. We really need the moisture. Snow isn't as big a concern as the actual temperature. The growers have been up, all night, some of them, making sure that they're not getting too cold. And they'll use wind or smudge pots, which are a source of heat, to try to keep the temperatures up far enough.
She says that depending on the bloom stage of the fruit tree, a drop of 3 degrees can make the difference between a 10% die-off and a 90% die-off. 3 degrees Fahrenheit can make or break a year's yields.
Typically, the things that get hurt the worst by this is like the cherries and the apricots. This year, everything is early. Everything's running at least 2 weeks early. So there's potential for more harm just because things are so early.
She isn't sure what the outlook is for this year's fruit yields. For KVNF, I'm Jake Ryan.
An amendment to the state budget that would have continued a program credited with reducing teen pregnancies and abortion was killed last week. However, as KVNF's Laura Pomisano reports, a bill that would do the same thing cleared its second reading in the House on Friday.
House Bill 1194 would provide $5 million to continue a program that helps low-income young women and teens access long-acting birth control. The initiative's funding comes from a private donation, but that money will run out this summer. State officials credit the program with helping to reduce teen pregnancy rates by 40% between 2009 and 2013. Bonnie Kaler is the deputy director of Delta County Health and Human Services. She spoke in favor of the bill before the legislature. Kaler says 7 years ago, 26% of live births in Delta County were to mothers who didn't have a high school education.
And in 2013, there were 313 live births in Delta County, and 50, or 16%, were to mothers with less than 12 years of education. And any time I can celebrate a birth to a mother who's completed high school, that's a win in my book.
Kaler says for the past 5 years, the county received $50,000 a year to fund the long-acting birth control program.
In a county of 30,000 people, $50,000 to be able to use for one specific program was really windfall money.
Republican Representative Don Corum of Montrose is one of the bill's sponsors. He says he wants to see the five-year-old program continue because it's effective. Corum says it's helped 30,000 females get intrauterine devices and helps keep young women in school and off welfare.
If you're anti-abortion, as I am, and you're a fiscal conservative, and you want to break the cycle of poverty, this is an outstanding bill. This may be the best piece of legislation I've ever worked on.
Some opponents of the bill say IUDs cause abortions, but Corum and the medical community refute that idea. Corum thinks the measure will easily clear the House, but not the Republican-controlled Senate.
It will die in the first committee.
For KVNF, I'm Laura Pomisano.
Last weekend marked the start of Parks Week across the nation. It's a time the National Park System uses to raise awareness and draw interest to the various national parks. Paul Zanger is a supervisory ranger at the Black Canyon of the Gunnison National Park. He says that getting fresh air is a great reason to visit, but national parks go beyond simple recreation.
Well, the national parks, run the gamut from Liberty Bell and the Statue of Liberty and Independence Hall, where the Declaration of Independence and the U.S. Constitution were drafted, to memorials like Mount Rushmore, the Lincoln Memorial, which are great triumphs of the human spirit. But we also have other places that catch us maybe where we're struggling to do our best. So the Selma to Montgomery National Historic Trail in Alabama is a part of the Park Service. The windswept fields of Gettysburg or the Great Plains in eastern Montana where the Battle of the Little Bighorn was fought. Those are all places that where we can acknowledge that maybe we could have done better as people, but that there is more yet to be done. And I think the land really informs us a lot on how we can be better people, better members of our community, better members of our counties and our states, and indeed better Americans.
At the Black Canyon National Park, the park will be open for all, and there are activities throughout the week. Last weekend, all national parks had free admittance. The recent snowfall created wet, slushy conditions on roads all across the state, including I-70, one of the main arteries for Colorado commerce. Out at the state capitol, a bill to try and ease traffic congestion and prevent closures on the I-70 mountain corridor is now in limbo, despite widespread support from the ski industry, hotel association, and others in the business community. Benta Berkland has more.
House Bill 1173 would expand the times when drivers are required to use snow tires or chains. Democratic sponsor Representative Diane Mitchbush of Steamboat Springs says it's in response to passenger vehicles causing more accidents and road closures.
That can close the road for upwards of 8 hours. What that means is that commerce is stopped, literally, that people on their way to work, especially in the mountain communities, can't get there and lose a day's pay.
As in current law, a driver responsible for a lane closure can face a $500 fine. The bill initially passed the House, but the Senate turned it into a study. A conference committee will meet to try and reach a compromise. I'm Benta Berkland at the state capitol.
The Daily Sentinel reports that the town marshal of DeBec that was recently fired is under investigation by the Colorado Bureau of Investigation. Michael Lorsong has been the town marshal for over 3 years when he was dismissed without severance. Calls to town officials have not been returned. The CBI is not commenting on the open investigation. Colorado's Southwest Chief Commission met last Friday, just days after $1.5 million in funding amendments were stripped from the House's state budget proposal, and another funding bill was put on indefinite hold. The commission is tasked with finding money for the route, including needed repairs to the tracks and possibly adding a stop in Pueblo. KRCC's Andrea Chalfin reports.
The Amtrak long-distance passenger train runs from Chicago to Los Angeles through southern Colorado. While a looming deadline for funding badly needed repairs has been eased, the route is not completely out of the woods yet. Commission member and president of the Colorado Rail Passenger Association, Jim Subi, says he's disappointed at the legislative results, but their work isn't done.
It would have been easy to just throw in the towel and say, oh, we didn't get our appropriation, we'll just have to wait till next year. Instead, you know, we just said, no, we're not going to wait another day. We're going to start working on a different approach to this and see if we can't pull this off this year. And anything we do this year helps us next year.
Subi says the commission is preparing to seek a federal transportation grant this year and plans to ask the Colorado Department of Transportation for help in matching funds. Last year, Colorado was part of a successful bid for a $12.5 million federal transportation grant. For KRCC News, I'm Andrea Chalfin.
Stay tuned for Go Betty and the Monday Morning Music Mix. For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.